everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show to get things rolling down the track of this new week. It is Monday, the 13th of July, 2015. We're coming to you from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our podcasts and the complete show archive available for you anytime at buckmastershow.com. We'll get things rolling as we do each Monday afternoon with our Monday political face-off, followed at 12:30. We'll have a conversation with Hank Amos. Mr. Amos is the head of Tucson Realty and Trust. The live line number is 790-2040. I'd be very curious during this political face-off to hear from any listener who was up at the Donald Trump event up in Phoenix. We would love to hear from you. You can call us at 790-2040, 790-2040. Or if you weren't at the event, that's fine too. You can still call us and talk about the face-off subject. And our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Let's welcome now on the Monday political face-off John Munger. Mr. Munger, a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Arizona Board of former president of the Arizona Board of Regents. I've got to change my script there, John. And John also ran in 2010 as a Republican candidate for governor of the state of Arizona, Vince Robago. He's also a well-known Tucson attorney and longtime Democrat Party activist, former Arizona Attorney General candidate, also in 2010, and Vince is head of the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. Our Monday political face-off is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and moesgallery.com, and of course on Facebook. Vince and John, how was the weekend?
Great weekend.
Very good.
Nice week off.
Yep.
A little bit of rain over the weekend for you, Vince?
We just got back into town from visiting family out of state. So we caught a little rain on the drive, but it looked like it rained out here.
I think this weather has been fabulous. Kind of warmish days, not blistering hot, and then monsoons every afternoon or every other. Wow, it's just perfect. What a lovely summer.
And people are complaining, John, and they always complain about the weather, that the monsoon's been sort of spotty. But it usually spotty, isn't it?
It's spotty, and usually it doesn't start this early. You know, I tell people all the time when they say how hot it is, try Houston, try New Orleans, try Miami, try Atlanta, try South Carolina. It's warm in a lot of places. Quit picking on Tucson.
Yeah, they do pick on Tucson a lot, Vince. And it was probably very humid where you were in Texas.
That's right. Very humid and a whole different style of weather, though there are plenty of rivers to dip in to cool off out there, I'll tell you.
All right. Well, I asked folks if anybody was at the Trump event up in Phoenix to give us a call, and that's what we're going to begin with on this Monday political face-off. John Munger, is Trump the wrecking ball? That's to quote from Lindsey Graham, saying that Trump is a wrecking ball to the Republican Party. And he says, Mr. Graham, that this is a defining moment for the future of the Republican Party.
Oh, that's just absolutely wrong. Look, I'm not a supporter of Lindsey Graham, and I think Lindsey Graham is simply articulating the East Coast establishment, political establishment on both sides. I'm not particularly, incidentally, a Donald Trump fan, but I will tell you that, number one, he's clearly speaking to a large number of people. People like the fact that he, unlike our politicians on both sides of the political spectrum, he just tells it as he sees it. He takes the consequences, and people are tired of politicians who are constantly hedging. And it's refreshing to have somebody who speaks what he sees as the truth. And people may not agree with him. That's fine. But he speaks clearly and certainly loudly. I don't like his style. I don't think he's anything other than striking a chord. look at Bernie Sanders. Why aren't the media and Graham talking about Bernie Sanders on the left, a real radical? He wants 90% taxation. He's got some real radical policies. He's doing much better. That radical is doing much better in the Democratic Party against Hillary Clinton than Trump is doing in the Republican Party. Trump right now he's doing real well. But I will remind you, in the last round of primaries, Michelle Bachmann was leading at this time, and then it was Rick Perry, and then it was Herman Cain. You know, people come and go. All of our candidates haven't even announced yet. I think what Trump is doing is he's freeing up a lot of the other candidates to talk about some real issues that resonate with people. For example, Jeb Bush, just the other day, came out against sanctuary cities. Well, thank you.
Okay. Vince, what do you think?
Well, I think John has his head in the sand. The reality is Republican Party leaders across this country are expressing the same sentiment or similar sentiment that Lindsey Graham has expressed. The difference is this isn't a question of let's see how radical Trump is vis-a-vis Bernie Sanders. The issue is that Trump is spewing false and incorrect hateful sewage out of his mouth that is generally being thrown against an entire people. Now, even today, I think it was today or yesterday, even Rupert Murdoch, king of the Fox Empire, came out and said that Trump is just flat out wrong trying to describe Mexican immigrants as bringing crime, Trump is just flat out wrong. And to use that sort of xenophobia, the kind of which we have seen for years in Arizona from people like Russell Pierce and others who were booted out of office, that's why you see, and I have to applaud folks like Senator Flake, coming out saying, hey, this isn't right. He's wrong. We shouldn't be going down this road. Arizona is coming out of this period, hopefully. But for those reasons, he sees that sort of talk that is just false, xenophobic, and mean-spirited, dragging the Republican Party down and hurting them with Hispanic voters. And that's why they're bringing this up. So I give kudos to folks like Senator Flake and others for McCain. Calling that out, McCain to some degree. And the difference is this. Nationally, Hillary Clinton is polling at around 60%, Bernie Sanders maybe 20. The difference here is that Donald Trump is running a close second in across the country. So This is not some fringe person, according to the Republican Party faithful.
I asked for someone that was at the event. Mark, I believe, was there. Mark's on the live line. Hey, Mark, how are you today?
All right. Well, it certainly was an interesting event. I will give you my personal opinion, and there was nothing hateful in the speech. My wife was there with me, and it was very, very down-to-earth, direct. And his initial remarks, of course, were that, he said that the news media particularly bashed them pretty good. It was just taking it out of context, and that he was only speaking of, illegals that were also criminals.
That's right. That is correct.
That's not accurate. Sorry, I have to disagree heartily with both of you on that.
Well, see, the problem, Mark,
listen to all the comments.
Go ahead and finish, Mark, and then I want to comment.
Anyway, just let me tell you what the mood was like. The crowd was very enthusiastic. It was a tough grind. I mean, they made us walk all the way around a full city block in the heat to get in the door.
Okay.
And it was very, very large crowd, and they all were very enthusiastic. I mean, I kind of call myself more of an observer than anything, but we made a last-minute decision to say, let's go for it. But we met a lot of, people there that I thought were very mainstream.
Okay, thank you, Mark, for checking in. Let's hear what Vince and John said.
Well, I want to comment on that. You know, I'm tired of the gotcha politics. Part of the problem we have out there is everything anybody says, the press and the establishment are always trying to parse it. I knew what he was saying. He was talking about, I'll grant you, he didn't speak very clearly, but as Mark said, he was talking about illegal immigrants who are criminals. And he was saying that they have a much higher recidivism rate here in the United States. They commit far more crimes. Illegal aliens, not legal aliens. Illegal aliens create have a much higher crime rate than legals do or than American citizens do. That's a fact.
That is not a fact.
That is a fact.
That is not a fact.
Yes, it is.
It is not a fact.
I'm
the fact that someone is undocumented does not equate, and look at what, for example, Rupert Murdoch just put out today. The facts are you are generalizing and throwing all immigrants, and that's what he did, whether they were legal or illegal. But even in the illegal, undocumented folks, that does not translate to higher crime rates. All the studies bear that out, and that's the falsehood of it.
I disagree with you.
Well, you're just wrong, John. Look it up.
I'm sorry, Vince.
You're part of the mass hysteria that has caused this xenophobia in Arizona, and you keep pushing that trigger and pushing that button.
I'll tell you what the facts are.
You're wrong about the facts.
Well, let me finish.
Go ahead.
Okay, hold on, guys.
What the facts are is that legal immigrants do not have a higher crime rate than anybody else. Illegal immigrants do. And the American public is tired of sanctuary cities. They are tired of having illegal immigrants here on the streets that never get removed. And they're tired of it. Now, you may disagree with me, Vince, but that doesn't mean my thoughts are hateful. It doesn't mean that Donald Trump's thoughts are hateful. It just means we disagree. And why don't we deal with it on that basis?
All right, guys, disagreeing, and we'll talk more about this. Jim has been waiting, and we do need to take a break. Jim, if you can stick with us through the break, we'll get to you right after it on the Monday Political Face-Off.
Kevin Lehman, on behalf of Five Star Termite Pest Control. Question, how many cockroaches does it take to change a light bulb? None, if you use Five Star Termite and Pest Control, because there are no cockroaches. Hasta luego. Adios, cucaracha. Do yourself a favor and call my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce
an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off, 790-2040. We're talking about Donald Trump. Vince Robigo and John Munger have a dispute going on here about numbers. John, your numbers, you believe, are right.
My numbers are that overall, legal and illegal aliens altogether have no higher crime rate than anybody else in the United States. However, if you take out just the illegal portion, they have a higher crime rate than does either the legal portion of the immigrants or the rest of the United States. The fact of the matter is that we are getting people who are not the highest level of Mexican society coming over here. They're coming as illegals.
All right, Vince, and you are disputing what John is saying.
Absolutely, and the reality is what he's described also as being Trump's comments are not what he said, saying that he was unclear. What Trump has said, and John is apparently going to agree with this, is the same thing that Trump said, which is that the majority of people that are coming over here without papers from Mexico are rapists, they're criminals, they're sending their worst, and as Trump said, kind of alluded, oh, and some, I assume, are a few are good. And so that is what has sparked outrage. There's nothing unclear about what Donald Trump said. He may not have repeated those comments at the event in Phoenix. I wasn't there, so I can't dispute with your caller what he exactly said. But his remarks, those are what he said, and that is what has sparked outrage across the country and certainly in the business community and responsible politicians, responsible leaders like Jeff Flake and others have called him on it and should call him on it.
Well, see, here's the problem. We're back to gotcha politics. I will tell you that I'm not a Donald Trump fan, as I've already said. However, and he does not speak clearly. However, it was clear to anybody that was listening what he was trying to say. And if you want to get into taking everybody on their word on exactly what they said, Vince, then go back to the Obamacare document and treat exchanges established by the state as exchanges established by the state rather than try to reinterpret it. In other words, you guys are always willing to reinterpret what your candidates say and go to the intent, but you're not willing to go to the intent of anybody that disagrees with you. So if you want to take Hillary Clinton on the face value of everything she said, which is one lie after another, instead of misinterpreting it and making excuses for her, fine. But I will tell you, the public understands what Donald Trump was talking about. And that's all I'm saying.
All right. At that point, I want to bring in Lauren, who is our next caller, who would like to join in the conversation. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'll try to keep it really brief. I'm just curious. I've been waiting for so long for our liberal brethren to admit to and condemn the crimes committed by illegals. And without doing so, it almost seems to me that they're behind the curtain supporting it. That bothers me.
Well, they're certainly not sending them back to their home countries, Lauren. They let them stay here.
I'm happy to speak to Lauren's point. I have strongly condemned any criminal's act, whether they're illegal or not. I grew up on the border. So if somebody crosses the border and commits a crime, they need to be treated with appropriately. So I agree with Lauren, but that's the standard that should apply to anyone, anywhere. And let me add to this fact. So your point, Lauren, that your liberal brethren are not saying anything, that's just wrong, because I'm happy to condemn any crime anywhere. And certainly if somebody is here unlawfully and commits a crime, they don't deserve to be here. Now, there's a difference in types of crimes. Let's say you commit jaywalking versus you know, murder. There's a huge difference there, so we have to treat social offenses differently depending on the situation. So that doesn't mean just because somebody's over here unlawfully and commits a jaywalking offense that therefore that's a heinous crime. We have to understand the difference here. That being said, the Obama administration has deported more people and more criminal aliens than any other administration in history. And that's a fact, and people don't want to acknowledge that. They just want to keep beating this drumbeat that, like, pretending as if it's not happening. Why do you think that all of the people that are immigrant advocacy groups, they're blast Obama routinely for his deportation policies, because how many people he has deported?
Let me comment to that, Vince.
Go ahead.
That is just not true. The reason the Democrats are saying that they have sent away more immigrants is they've redefined what it means to be sent away. They are not saying people that are already in the country. They're counting as sent away people that reach the border and don't ever get into this country, and they're saying, oh, we sent them back. No, you never sent them back. You didn't let them in the first place. The problem you've got.
Where do you come up with that? What is that?
It's another number. I'm telling you.
They catch somebody who is unlawfully entering. Well, then that's how they send them back.
Well,
they
I'm telling caught. You, Vince, then how is it that we've had these people in sanctuary cities who are convicted criminals?
You can't give one example.
Let me finish. Why is it that we have people who are convicted criminals who have been convicted seven times here in the United
States?
You're
talking about the San Francisco
matter. In San Francisco, and they're still here, okay, killing people. Why is that?
Okay, so you want to use one extreme example to
it's
try to...
It's not an extreme example. It happens all the time.
Somebody that you're telling... that is,
it happens all
like
the
you
time,
you just
want to
talk in generalities, and you don't want to address the fact that the Obama administration has deported more than any other administration in history. No, it is not wrong.
Because you've redefined what deported means from any other administration.
You do not. You know, the reality is the Obama administration has embarked on massive programs, whether it's called Streamline, whether they do voluntary removals when they catch people who are entering here and the Border Patrol catching them. Those numbers are the numbers that we go by, because are the numbers that we have sent out of this country.
You have redefined deporting, Vince, and therefore...
That is just false.
You don't want to
deal with reality.
Gentlemen, Matthew is waiting to speak with us at 790-2040. Matthew, how are you today?
Oh, good. I hope everybody had a good weekend.
We did. Thank you so much.
You know, my only comment is that I really believe that the Republican Party cannot distinguish between the concept of immigration has nothing to do with committing acts of violence, like, you know, being a criminal. And they've got to keep these two. Immigration is an administrative issue. And until they stop trying to get into cause and effect, and especially with illegal immigration, they are doomed with the Hispanic constituency, because they just can't stop fumbling over themselves on this.
Okay, Matthew.
Well, Matthew, let me say this. You take Rick Perry, for example, the governor of Texas, who has implemented a very strong program trying to keep illegals out. He got in the last election 42% of the Hispanic vote. He is able to draw those distinctions. If you believe, as I do, that the illegal community, the illegal immigrants from whatever country, have a higher proportion of felonies here in the United States than other groups, whether they be legal aliens or anybody else, then I think that's a clear distinction. If you can't draw that distinction, I certainly can. So we're drawing the distinction between illegal aliens and everybody else. What we need to do is secure the border. People keep talking about how we need to have a new comprehensive immigration law. Why don't we enforce the immigration law that we've already got?
Okay,
let's
Vince.
Start with that, and let's start by securing the border.
Vince, go ahead.
I'll address part of that. The part of the thing is that our immigration laws and the process by which people can lawfully immigrate to this country are broken. That is why we have, you know, 10 or 11 million people in this country that don't have proper
documentation. And how have they been broken, Vince? How have they been broken?
The laws are broken.
How? No. The system are they broken?
The system, it does not work because you have to wait. When people like on the Republican Party say, go back to the back of the line, you know what we're talking about at the line right now? In some cases, 15 or 20 years while people are trying to give food to their families.
All right.
And it just doesn't work. The system isn't working, and you don't want to address that.
Yeah, you don't want to address the fact that there is a law and the fact that it takes time. And I do a lot of immigration work, Vince, and it doesn't
for
take—
For business people. You don't do regular
and it doesn't take
for people coming in.
It for people who are applying for visas—
Do you have business visas, John?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Are you dealing with the masses that are coming over here that are unemployed, trying to feed hand
yes,
them
we'll
out to
do,
their
Yes, we'll deal with that.
You do that in your law firm?
Yeah.
How much of your percentage is that, John?
We don't—
How much of your percentage is
that? We
don't
deal with people that have crossed illegally, but we deal with people who want to come in.
You don't deal with those people.
Well, if somebody's already come in illegally, Vince, I'm not going to deal with them.
Okay. Ray has been waiting. Let's see if we can work one more call in. Go ahead, Ray. How are you?
Yes, I'll make it real quick. Basically, I talked to somebody who said the mass volume of immigrants, illegal immigrants, coming in has grown a huge amount in the past couple of years. My question is the percentage of illegal immigrants doing criminal acts being deported back, has that increased or stayed the same? So it's not the number, but the percentage that I'm asking about.
The percentage of what? Being sent back?
The percentage of being sent back compared to the mass amount of people coming in.
All I know, I don't know that percentage, sir, but I do know that we have a lot of illegal aliens here that are convicted criminals, to wit the one in San Francisco. Another one was just happened in L.A. yesterday. They are occurring, and those are people that are still here. They have not been deported.
Okay. And let me just add this: the point in your question, sir, the actual apprehensions and the numbers of how Border Patrol tracks how many people are coming in actually have been down over the last number of years. So it is not a mass volume of an increase. The numbers have been down, and that's why critics of the large federal agency, which is the Border Patrol inside of Homeland Security, why they keep asking for more and more money when their numbers are actually going down.
The Border Patrol Union has actually said that they have been ordered not to apprehend people.
All right,
Vince, that's why the numbers are down.
John and Vince, thank you very much for a spirited discussion. Hope you both have a great week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vince.
Thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located at Dodge and Fort Lowell on moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Give Moe's a shout-out. Check it out. They'll take care of all of your custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Be right back.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. My name is Bill Buckmaster, and it's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we're welcoming now to the Buckmaster Show Hank Amos, the president and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, one of really the iconic businesses in Tucson. There aren't many businesses in this town that go back to pioneer days, territorial days, but Tucson Realty and Trust is one of them. Hank, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
So tell me something. Residential's got to come first, and then your end of the business, commercial. So is that kind of the way it works?
Yeah, that's usually how it leads. So we're a real estate-driven economy. And when the home building is booming, everything trickles down and does well. So you have more tradespeople in here, more jobs. They're taking up the industrial space. Since we have more jobs, they're spending. So retail does better. Our economy does better. That's the number one thing. The number two thing is we have to have companies coming in here and bringing jobs too. So when that happens, that helps out the residential economy. It also helps out the commercial business as well.
Is the residential real estate business picking up?
Yes. So I heard, I've been talking to some of the leaders of the other real estate companies and the mm-hmm. title companies. One gentleman from one title company said that his first half was the best first half he's had in a long time. In fact, it was greater than what they did all of last year.
Wow.
So everybody's saying that home sales this year to date are greater than where they were they're much greater than they were last year and better than they were in 2013. So it looks like things are picking up there on that end.
And the prices?
The prices have gone up. So, in fact, I think they went up like 12% or something like mm-hmm. that. I'm
yep.
not sure.
Yep, the median.
Yeah, the median price has gone up. And that's because inventory is coming down a little bit. But the new price, let's say, of a new home is about $256,000, a resale home. So home that's been used, right, and you're selling it, that's $165,000. That's the biggest spread we've ever seen between the two.
Mm. And I've heard inventory is also shrinking, which is good.
Yeah, so when inventory shrinks, you know, supply and demand, prices will start moving
up. Now, how does this affect what you do in the commercial end of real estate?
So in the commercial end of real estate, let's say you take industrial. So mm-hmm. we have right now 4 million square feet of industrial space that's vacant. And a lot of that is vacant because we don't have a lot of the trades helping out the residential home builders taking that 5,000 square feet or 10,000 square feet. And we don't have those big job companies that maybe had 100,000 square feet or so there. So when residential picks up, we'll see a lot of those smaller 5,000 and 10,000 square foot facilities with a yard, you know, lease up. But our vacancy is right now about 10.1%, and it's one of the highest in the country. And so you look at maybe like Rochester, New York, who just lost Eastman Kodak.
Yeah.
They're just a little bit over 9%, but they're still better than what we're doing.
Are you saying then that for every 10 square feet of residential?
We have 40 million square feet of industrial space, and 4 million of it is vacant.
So 10% of our industrial space is empty?
Is empty.
That's not good.
That's going to take a long time to fill up.
How about is downtown helping at all?
Well, downtown is your own separate market, and right. It's on fire. I mean, but the government spent a lot of time. They spent a lot of money there. They want to grow it, and it's doing very well.
But that's just a small sector.
Small sector. In 5 years, they've had 200 new businesses opened up.
Yeah. Okay. How about retail?
Retail is probably the strongest sector that we have right now. The vacancy there is about 7.8%, and this is due to five reasons. There was a lack of new development, so a lot of that new development didn't occur when the downturn happened. So supply was a little bit tighter. There's been a lot of scrape and redevelopment, we call. So they're tearing down old retail and putting in new stuff. And you think about Broadway and Wilmot on both the northeast corner and the southeast corner, to give you an example. And then the vacant land is being absorbed. And so you think about 22nd Street in Alvernon, where they have the new DES building, or near Columbus, where Chapman Motors is building that big building. And then we have new tenants entering our marketplace. So you always have those regional, national tenants coming in. So think Tractor Supply and Natural Grocers. And then you have the expansion still of urgent care centers and mattress stores and pawn shops. And so your retail's been very strong.
So you call it kind of repurposing of older properties?
You're starting to see that, which is good. I mean, you take a little of those blighted centers or those strip centers, and they're tearing them down, and they're putting in new stuff up there, which I think is good for the aesthetics.
Hank Amos is with us from Tucson Realty and Trust. We're kind of going over some of these mid-year figures of the mid-year calendar year and of the beginning of the fiscal year, 790-2040. If you'd like to call in and give us your opinion on how you think the Tucson economy is doing. Now, some of the other areas, we talked a little bit about industrial. And what about investment? Is Tucson, are people investing in Tucson in the real estate market?
A little bit, but we're not really seen as a city that people, you know, want to invest in. We're considered more of a tertiary market, or, you know, so you don't see that. But we are selling, you know, some of our trophy assets. And the reason being is, so we just, like, Casas Adobes that Ina and Oracle sold, right? And that sold because what's happening right now is sellers who have these trophy assets are saying, now's the time for me to take my chips off the table. Because cap rates, which determine, you know, the value of an investment property, are really low. And when cap rates are low, it's better for the seller. When cap rates are high, it's better for the buyer. So cap rates are like at all-time lows. They're crazy low. And so sellers are selling, and buyers still want to buy because the interest rate to buy these assets is very low too. So you're starting to see, you've seen some sales like Elkhorn and the center that was at River and Craycroft, and now you see this one. There was a big apartment portfolio called FHP that sold for $60 million. So you start still seeing some of those sales. And the other thing is kind of big in investment sales right now is that I'd say that 25 to less than 100 apartment communities, because investors really want to have cash flow, yield. And where can I get that? And they can't get it in a lot of different types of investments. So they look at real estate because it's secured, you know, there, and they're doing that. And so that's been doing very well. I think in the future, if I was an investor, I'd look at maybe trying to buy platted lots or improving them, because eventually we're going to see our residential market come back as people back east who've had two brutal winters in a row are saying, I don't want to live there anymore, and that Sun Belt is going to start growing again.
Now, does Tucson lag? Well, we know Tucson lags behind Phoenix, but can you put kind of a numerical figure on that, and how far do we lag behind? Is it a year? Is it 2 years?
They say it's a little bit over 12 months. But Phoenix is having a tough time too. I mean, Phoenix is doing much better than Tucson. I mean, if you go there, it's like night and day. But they're not doing as well as some other peer cities across the country. So Arizona's been hit pretty hard, and they're kind of going through some of their tough times as well.
Hank Amos, is it fair, and so many people do this, to even compare Tucson and Phoenix? We're just really different animals. Look at the population of Phoenix. It's the state capital. I mean, it's really, is it comparing like apples and oranges?
Well, in the old days, I'd say back in the 70s and early 80s, we did compete.
Yeah.
And then they had an explosion of growth in the 90s and again in the 2000s. And we're just two completely different cities right now. It used to be they were about a third bigger than us, and they did about a third more. And now you can't even make that comparison. It's not even close.
All right. We're going to keep Hank Amos here for a second segment. But let me tell you right now about one of our fine sponsors, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. This weekend is the Hummingbird Festival. It's an annual event at the Little Toad Inn and Tavern. It's only 3 hours over to the Silver City area. They've had a lot of rain over there, a lot of monsoon rain. So the Gila National Forest has greened up beautiful. Be a great weekend outing, lots of different varieties and species of hummingbirds. You can find out all about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico by going to their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org, that has the complete listing of the many great places to stay in the area, like Casitas de Gila guest houses. We'll be right back with more with Hank Amos, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation.
Ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday as we talk with attorney Larry Hecker about why Mr. Hecker feels everyone should be voting yes on Pima County bonds in November. Also, the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Hank Amos is with us. Hank Amos is, of course, the head of Tucson Realty and Trust. And it's really George Hank Amos III. Is that right?
Yeah, Hank came from Henry.
Okay. So you've got three after
your... My grandfather, my dad, they called him Buddy.
Buddy.
And then they decided to call me Hank.
And can I quickly ask you why the family chose Tucson originally? And where did they come from?
Well, my grandfather came out here just before the turn of the century. And
from
Michigan. Oh. And our family actually came from, you know, Germany. And over here, the first Amos that came over, his name was August Amos. Hmm. So he came out here for health reasons, not for his mom and one of his brothers or sisters.
Was it like tuberculosis or something?
Something like that, yeah. Right. And okay. And came out here before the turn of the century and then got involved with the company collecting rents and sweeping the floors and things like that. And then in 1933, Congress passed what was called the Disinvestiture Act, which said that banks could not own real estate companies and had to liquidate that. So at that time, we were owned by Consolidated Bank, which ended up becoming Valley National Bank and Chase Bank. Mm-hmm. And so he bought half, and a bank employee owned the other half, and then eventually he bought that other person out.
Is there a Hank Amos IV?
There's my son, and his name is, he's George IV, and we call him Jack. So nobody, the last three generations have not taken George.
Well, anyway, let's get back to the mid-year assessment of the commercial real estate scene. One area we have not talked about, office space. You had talked about in the first segment, the last segment, about industrial space, one of the highest vacancies for industrial space in the country. How about office space? Is there a lot of office space available?
There is a lot of office space. There's about 18% vacancy. And so what we're seeing right now, because we haven't had companies moving in or a lot of vitality or velocity, we've talked about that before in the past, so you don't see that. So all you're doing is kind of trading tenants a little bit and not necessarily doing that. So as a tenant's lease gets ready to come up, they go out in the marketplace, find a better deal, go back and tell their landlord, hey, I'm leaving because I'm getting this over here. And the landlord doesn't want to have an empty spot, right? Because it may sit empty for a long time. So the landlord says, hey, what can I do to keep you?
Right.
And so they make a deal, and that's kind of been a circle. So you've seen an increase in concessions, lower rents, and some more free rent. But there's an opportunity. And the opportunity is that if you're a business – and you want to expand, now's the time to do so because you can lock in a lot lower rate. Because I do think things are going to improve, and we're looking at the bond package that we were talking off air on and everything. And if you want to get better space, You can probably afford better space than what you have now and don't have to pay those hefty rents that you would have had to pay, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I mean, lease rates right now for a lot of facilities, a lot of buildings are about where they were in the late 80s.
Wow. We talked a little bit in the last segment about retail. We've got a Walmart neighborhood market that's anchoring a retail center that's currently under construction at the southeast corner of Drexel and Tucson Boulevard. The opening date will be in mid-December. How about some other, do you see a kind of an energy, a little, at least maybe a picked up energy here in Tucson for some new building?
Well, there is some energy that's kind of going on. So some of the things that are happening right now is you have the Rio Nuevo Multipurpose Facilities District. And so there's things that are kind of going on right there. But if you look at what's happened, and like in summertime, the U of A Environmental and Natural Resource Building got completed. Tucson Premium Outlets, that's a mall. That's going to be finished here very shortly. The Arizona Hotel is having a renovation project that's kind of going on right now.
A lot of people would say that one's really much needed.
Right. You have a new student housing called the Hub. So Hub 2 is kind of going up. And in the future, you have downtown. You have the Marriott is building the AC Hotel. Home Goods is building a distribution center, and I believe that's in the $50 million range. There's just a lot of things that are going on. You know, the U of A Bioscience Research Laboratories, they're doing something. The West Abbey, West End Station, you know, these are all down in the Mission District and all. The new TIA terminal is happening, the Residence Inn. There are things that are happening, but we just need, you know, more jobs and more companies coming here.
Well, we have more jobs coming in the form of some call centers. And how do you feel about call center jobs? And the call center people will tell you these are not just like minimum wage jobs. They have, you know, they pay pretty well and they have benefits.
Look, at this point, when your community needs jobs, you're going to take any job you can get.
Yeah.
So there are some good jobs there, and the managerial positions play pretty well. And so I'm not against call centers. I'll take call centers. But I want to diversify our economy. You know, one of the things I do like is I know that the governor is committed to Arizona. He's been down here like 19 times since he's been elected. And he's trying really hard. So he's involved, you know, with Comcast coming here. I know he's working with another big name company that's looking to come here. And they're hoping to have that announcement in not too far distant future. He's working hard on trade in Mexico because he feels that Tucson, if Mexico wants to do business in the United States and they need, and those companies need to establish a footprint, this is the place to do it, Tucson. So he's working really hard and trying to make that a reality.
Most communities west of the Mississippi are faring much better than Tucson or Phoenix when it comes to that industrial space. When we've got that, you know, 10% vacant rate. Are these communities that are doing much better, like Corpus Christi, Dallas, Denver, Houston, Lubbock, Las Vegas, on and on it goes, Albuquerque, are they doing something that's right, or are we doing something that's wrong, Hank Amos?
Well, it's all about momentum, you know. So when you have good momentum, then you have, you know, that seems to start things up. But like I'm doing some investments in Corpus Christi, and Corpus Christi is on fire right now.
Why is that?
Well, their port business, which is one of the things we need to work on, I think, here to help our community as well as Arizona. They're spending $30 billion in Corpus Christi on their port right now. And so, but Texas overall is doing very well. And they have a pro-business attitude. You know, what do you need? We'll get her done. And so you're seeing companies relocate there to Texas, and they're moving there. They're moving to Dallas. They're moving to Houston. And these communities are growing. So Texas' economy is on fire, and that's why those cities are doing very well. They have a very pro-business attitude. I don't think we necessarily have a pro-business attitude here in Tucson. Now, Phoenix has that, but we don't have it. And that's one of the reasons why Phoenix, you know, really grew and did better. And it's okay to protect what you have, but if you create a situation where we have this, you know, not in our backyard and you can't jump in my light boat, then you start to see the effects of that eventually. And people don't want to come to Tucson. They know it's too difficult to do business here, and your economy starts to suffer, business suffers, and becomes this death spiral.
And when we didn't do that cross-town freeway back in the early 90s, that was huge.
That was huge.
Huge.
That was huge. I'm looking at another community. We're doing some investments in Tulsa, right? Uh-huh. Tucson's bigger than Tulsa, but Tulsa's infrastructure and logistics is so much better. So it's difficult to get from one side of town to another. That crosstown freeway would have done very well.
All right. It's always interesting speaking with Hank Amos. He's kind of tuned in to what's going on in our business community. He's always welcome here on the Buckmaster Show. And Hank, thank you very much. I hope the rest of the summer goes well for you.
Hope so too for you. Thank
All
you.
Right. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, another one of our fine local talk shows. We do 3 hours of local talk here in the morning on KVOI. Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone comes on from 8 to 9. So that's a 3-hour package, and then I'm back for an hour at 12:04 with our friend Ed Alexander helping me out. And Ed and I hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Back tomorrow.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.